Hi, everyone, and welcome to Dub-de-Dub Review. I am your host, Stacey Nyman, who tried really hard to get out of this introduction, but Chris Malik made me. And I'm joined today by said Chris Malik. How are you today, Chris?
Well, I didn't. It was a suggestion. It was just a suggestion.
It was a suggestion, but then I made a really bad face and was like making the crying noises and everything. And he still was like, okay, so you're still going to do it. And then, so here we are. It is what it is. It is what it is.
It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. Keep rolling. Keep rolling.
How are you?
I couldn't be any better. Life's good. My signature line when people ask me is I have first world problems. So yeah. I'm good.
Line. I love it. And we also have a special guest joining us today. We're joined by Jennifer Blumetti.
So Jennifer went on this really cool vacation. To my ignorance, I literally said, hey, that's a really cool signing vacation. I had no idea. I'm pleading ignorance right now. It was even an Adventures by Disney trip. But she took a European vacation with Adventures by Disney for London and Paris. Do I have that right so far?
That is correct, yes.
And I'm fully admitting that I was completely ignorant that it was an Adventures by Disney. I just love the idea of the trip. And then I saw you take pictures in Disneyland Paris. So I'm like, let's talk all about this experience. So, but if you've listened to the last show you were on, you also took an Adventures by Disney trip, but that was out west.
Yes.
So like, okay, we're committed to this experience. Did you know this was going to happen at the last trip, or did you guys book it right afterwards, or how did this take place?
We booked it relatively soon afterwards. So I think we booked it not quite a year in advance, but pretty close. So we were still throwing it about, trying to decide what we wanted to do this summer after we took the trip last summer. Okay. But we knew we wanted to do another Adventures by Disney because it was so easy. Expensive, but it's easy. I didn't have to plan anything. I don't have to, you know, figure out how to get from point A to point B. It was somebody else does the work and I get to show up. So that's why we liked it.
And there are a lot of logistical hurdles because now you're talking like major cities and major metropolitan areas. So lining up itineraries in these environments it can be really difficult. So I do understand that completely. Is your flight, was it direct or was it a layover somewhere?
It was actually direct, surprisingly. There is a direct flight from Tampa to Heathrow.
Okay.
So that was wonderful, especially because Tampa Airport is not that busy and it was an overnight flight. So there aren't very many flights going out of Tampa at that time of night. So there were like five people in the security line ahead of us to go through, hey, show us passports and go through. So it was the easiest experience ever.
What do you feel about the Tampa airport in general, though? Be honest. What is your relationship with the airport?
I grew up in St. Pete, so it's kind of sort of my home airport. Okay. I liked it a lot better before they changed before like all the 9/11 stuff and the security changed, because it used to be much easier to shop and do things in that central area. I don't know if you've been. They've got a little central hub that's pre-security. And then you go take a train to your terminal and that's where you go through security. So if you're trying to buy last minute gifts or things for people, you can't bring bottles of things through because, you know, all the security and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I don't like, but it's an easy airport to navigate.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, after living in Chicago and going through, you know, O'Hare a few times, I can appreciate the smaller airport.
So I have a not a love-hate relationship. I have a love-love relationship with Tampa International Airport. It is like what an airport should be. It's not intimidating. If you go to O'Hare and fly through O'Hare, it is a very intimidating, sterile environment. It literally looks like 1988 happened and then no further shall it pass at O'Hare Airport. It's gray. It's metallic. It's not very welcoming. Tampa is the exact other opposite. They have the giant flamingo statue in the center courtyard. And yeah, it's really nice experience. So, but I know what you mean. When I land at like 11 o'clock, there's nobody in the airport. I mean, the airport's desolate at that point, you know, so I can imagine, but good. Direct. Wonderful.
Direct
it doesn't sound like it's important. But if you have a layover in Iceland, you know, or in Madrid, those international layovers, they're not like an hour. It's like a 6 hour layover or something really, really long. So good on you.
So I was very pleasantly surprised by that. Mm-hmm. It made things a lot easier. Now, getting my 12-year-olds through an overnight international flight was, you know, not quite as fun.
Oh, tell me why. Because that's usually designed for feed you dinner, put on a movie, close your eyes for a few hours, and you're at the destination. Well, what went wrong?
It's the close your eyes was the problem. Okay. My daughter slept pretty well for the flight. My son watched like 4 movies and was up the whole time. So I was up the whole time. And then he fell asleep in the van from the airport to the hotel.
Okay.
And what time was it when you arrived there?
It was around 12:30 in the afternoon. So it was lunchtime.
So not the ideal time to nap.
No. We were trying to stay awake, obviously. That way we'd sleep at night and kind of be back on a normal schedule. But it was a little touch and go there as he's nodding off.
Yeah, I imagine so.
In the car.
Was it an Adventures by Disney van, or did you have any like extra days planned on the front end, back end of this?
Both, actually. It was an Adventures by Disney planned, and we did have an extra day tacked on at the front. So even if you arrive early, as long as you book things with them for the early hotel stays and things, they'll come and pick you up even if your flight's not the day of.
Nice.
So they picked us up in a van, and they took us to our hotel, and it was easy.
Okay, so you had the same hotel stay then, but one day was essentially you guys, and then the trip started off the next day with Adventures by Disney, correct?
Yes, correct.
Was it a modern hotel chain, or was it a historical one, or a mom and pop?
It is, it's a historical, it's an old building, but everything in London seems old to me. Yeah, I'm from Florida. But it's a Kimpton, which is in the chain with like Intercontinental and that group. So it's a big chain. So it was a really beautiful hotel, but it was a pretty modern hotel.
Okay. So this is like a word of warning. As you travel across to Europe and you're looking through your Expedia app at like hotel reviews and you're like, oh, that's so charming. Bear in mind, charming and really uncomfortable for American standards are two different things. It may look very charming, but it looks different. But when you're traveling with Adventures by Disney, it was already vetted out. It was already probably really nice. I stayed in a place that looked wonderful. It was called, it's been so long. I'll think of it. It was the Inverness Terrace, I think was the name. And it looked just like a postcard until you walked in the door. And then it was horrific. But you were there and you were committed and you had the money paid. So you were staying, but it was horrific. But on the outside, it was just wonderful. It was beautiful.
Yeah, they don't scrimp on the hotels, which is part of why you pay as much as you do.
Yeah.
Because you're staying at very nice hotels. We stayed at this, it's the Kimpton Fitzroy is the name of the hotel. And it was fantastic. It was beautiful. It was right across the park from the British Museum, which was really cool.
Really cool.
And then you go to Paris, and we'll talk about that later, but you're staying at a nice Hilton, very American style hotel. So it was very much catering to an American clientele.
Did you have air conditioning in both places?
Oh yes. Thank God, because it was hot in Paris.
So I say that question, right? Stacey's like, of course it would have. Like, it doesn't. Like in Europe, they don't have air conditioning in a lot of the hotels. And if you're at a family hotel, they never bother to install air conditioning or room air conditioners. So hopefully, if you're in summertime, it's got air conditioning for you.
Yes, this was air conditioned, which was good because we got there. It was a pretty bad heat wave when we were in Paris. So that was nice.
Been the entirety of 2023 is a pretty bad heat wave, hasn't it? At this point, it seems.
Yeah, I haven't left my house this summer because it's been, you know, feels like 115 at about 11 in the morning.
Here. Every day. Okay. What was the first day then? You added on a day. What was the itinerary then before the adventures? What was the important thing?
So for me, we were right across from the British Museum. So that was my goal. I wanted to go to the British Museum. I'm the only one who wanted to go to the British Museum in my family. Okay. But that was my big goal. So that's why we wanted to get there early anyway, because we were worried about flights being delayed and things like that. So we didn't want to miss anything. But that was my big goal for that extra time. We did arrive, like I said, it was like 12:30, 1 o'clock. And we actually went and took the tube and explored a little bit, just to kind of get the kids on the train. They don't remember Chicago, so they don't remember riding on the blue line downtown mm-hmm. from our house. So we wanted to have them do the whole train experience, even though we could have walked. We went to Covent Garden. We went out to dinner. We walked through the shops there. And then the next day we went to the British Museum.
Okay.
Which is really cool.
Stace, before we get too far, the London Underground in itself is literally a tourist destination. It is like the model of efficiency for what a people transportation system is. We live in Chicago, right? We have the Chicago, we have the L. We think that's how it's not. The L looks like it's got graffiti and it's dirty, but the signage is so clean and clear, and there's white ceramic tile on all the tube stops. It's like the model of what an underground city should move.
It's like a toy train.
It kind of is. It's pretty cool. So okay. And what did you do at the British Museum? What was the draw? What was the special thing?
I am just a history nerd, so I wanted to go there. And it's obviously known for, they have the Rosetta Stone, which is mm-hmm. really kind of a neat thing to see. There's some controversy with the Egyptian stuff, but they have a lot of Egyptian antiquities and just things from over the world. And I like that stuff. I can spend all day there. Two hours was enough for my family, but I could have spent all day there.
Well, of course. And remind us again, how old are the kids?
They're 12.
Okay. Okay. So you're trying to cater to a 12-year-old taste as well, as opposed to, you know, doing what you and your husband
wants. Exactly. This was a little challenging trip for the 12-year-olds. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
I liked it.
well, get us to the first day. What was the Adventures by Disney? Like, what kicked off that portion of the trip?
So the first day is just dinner. So we met our guides in the afternoon. They have some little pregame stuff. You choose your meals kind of ahead of time because you were with the group. It was about 40 people. I think there were 39 exactly. So to cater for us for some of the meals when we're all together, they have you choose from a kind of a set menu ahead of time so they could submit it to the restaurants ahead of time. So we meet the guides ahead of time. We actually had a guide that we had in Wyoming and Montana last year. So that was
really
kind of wow. Yeah.
I told him we were stalking him. So he's great. He was fantastic.
Hang on. So how could he be a specialist there and a specialist here? What do they shift their guides around historically?
So there's two guides on every trip. One is local. So we also had a British guide. One is usually American. So because you have a lot of American tourists. So you have the local expert who's good at expediting things locally, and then the American who can deal with Americanisms.
Takes care of people. Gotcha. Okay. He was a roving maitre d'. He was a roving, yes. Like, right? Okay. Very cool. So you have dinner. Were the food options and locations designed based on an American palate, or was like, no, we're going to immerse you into British cooking. We're going to immerse you into French cooking. What would that
be? It was a bit of both. Like the first night, I'm trying to remember what we had a buffet. So it was in a room. They did this really cute thing where they had the guy dressed up as Sherlock Holmes, kind of like searching for clues with the kids. And so they had like, it was like a show. And then we had a buffet, and I honestly, it was good, but I honestly can't remember what was in the buffet. We had so much food this trip that that doesn't stand out for me, but it was really good. Breakfast in the hotels were like, they had full English breakfast. So they had black pudding and beans and, you know, but then they also had like toast and eggs and bacon and things like that. So it was fun. I tried all of those things.
All of those things. Interesting. Okay. What was the first Disney branded, like, hey, we're going to do this excursion, we're going to do this experience?
The first one was Tower of London, which was one of the coolest things we did. So the Tower of London, you know, obviously you can go there on your own. You don't need Adventures by Disney to do it. We were the first group let in for the day.
Oh, really cool.
So we were the only ones, like they open, unlock the gates for us and then they lock the gates back up at once they let us in. So that was very cool.
Really cool.
We got the yeoman warder, who's the, you know, the beef eater guy, gave us a little tour, around the grounds and then took us to the Crown Jewels exhibit was the first thing we did. And that exhibit, we got to experience it differently than the general public does. So I don't know if either of you have been mm-hmm. there, but there's a conveyor belt. It's like a little, like a moving walkway. And you actually climb into the moving walkway and you kind of go by the exhibits. The moving walkway wasn't turned on for us. We had a guide who stopped us at each of the little cases that had the jewels in it and explained to us what everything was in each of these cases. So, you know, like the scepter that was used in the coronation and the crown and, you know, all of the stuff. Talked about the specific jewels in some of the crowns, talked about the significance of why the certain crowns were shaped certain ways and who wears them and why. And that was very cool.
Really cool.
Yeah. And then once we left, we saw the line that had already started forming to go in after we were done. So that was really fascinating. And it was really kind of a cool way to experience it.
Stace, the Tower of London is a palace and it's a prison. And it's also a place where people have lost their heads, were, you know, brought to and from off the River Thames. It's really cool and historic. It also holds the crown jewels. They talk about the legend of the crows. The ravens. It, really cool experience. Like when you leave and you walk through there, it's like you can see some of the cells where people were put in for like before they were beheaded. And it's a really cool, creepy historical experience. Like at the end of the day, you're like, that was worth it. That was a really cool place to be. Yeah. Okay.
So in addition to like our guides that work for Disney, they hire a third party guide who hangs out with us for a few days. So we have like a historian who walks us around and explains things. So once we did the Crown Jewels part of it and our beef eater went off to do whatever he needed to do with the rest of his day, we had our guide, Stephen, who walked us around the rest of the grounds and actually gave us more history and background on, you know, where this is where Anne Boleyn was beheaded and this is where she would have stayed before she was brought out, and kind of the, you know, the little bit of history of Henry VIII and his wives and that kind of thing, which again, 12-year-olds weren't really excited about this.
Yeah.
But I was.
You know what? I could see that. I'm just as excited to hear about it as I was. I remember it back many years ago, but I'm trying to put myself in the perspective of my youngest daughter. Would she think it's cool? Maybe for the first 25 minutes.
Right.
Then there better be a gelato stand or like a candy store somewhere really close by to keep her plugged in. Yeah. So I could completely see that. What was the transportation like between attractions? Were you guys on an underground, walking, bus?
Bus for the most part. From taking us from the hotel to places were bus. There were some places we walked, but we always had a bus to take us. So we had like a charter bus. It wasn't always the same bus, which was unlike in Montana and Wyoming, where basically we had one bus driver, and he took the trip with us. Because there's not a lot of places you can park buses in the city of London, they would like charter it to take us there. And then sometimes we'd get a different bus and a different driver, sometimes the same driver to pick us up and take us back. So that was a little different.
Okay.
But they transported us everywhere.
What else did you see? That would be on the second day. The first day was just dinner. What else did they tie that afternoon with?
We did a boat ride on the Thames, which was I enjoyed it. There, it might not work for everybody. It's a speedboat. So it's one of these big inflatables. You kind of go up and down the river. They talk about, there's somebody explaining what all the buildings are. We saw the Globe Theater. We saw where like MI6 is. We saw, you know, Big Ben, Parliament, you know, all of those things. And then they said, now we're going to go really fast.
Wow. Wow.
So you go really fast, but it's, there's a lot of bouncing and turbulence. And if you get seasick, it's probably not the best. We were fine.
The kids like that though, I bet.
Kids loved it. That this part they thought was cool. They didn't really care about seeing the buildings, you know, other than some of them look cool.
Yeah.
You know, London's big office buildings are all got weird shapes and they're kind of neat looking. But they thought that boat ride was really neat.
Well, they may have retained more or enjoyed it more than they let on, because the next time you'd be watching the Discovery Channel and you'll have a footage of like, they'll be like, oh yeah, I remember seeing that. We saw that, you know, so they could potentially.
They will. They did have museum fatigue. I am not going to lie. By the end, there was definitely whining, but
I can see that too. It's literally downtown Chicago, but it's all museums and it's all churches. Exactly. And it's like, right. Okay. Did you go on the London Eye? Did they take that?
No, that you could have done on your own if you came ahead of time. Some people did. We weren't, I don't know. Yeah. It wasn't something that we felt like we needed to do. There's one in Orlando.
You have his twin brother in Orlando, not more than, you know, 45 minutes down the road from you. You have one.
Exactly. It felt a little redundant. I don't know. To me, that's like, okay, cool. We can see it from up high, but there's lots of places we can see London from up high, and I don't need to be trapped in a little ball at the top of a Ferris wheel to do it.
Okay.
And again, you know, that's, people, you know, it's there for a reason. It's a tourist attraction for a reason. And, you know, thousands of people go there. I just wasn't one of them.
Okay. Let me name a few other attractions. Then you can tell me on day 2 and 3. Did you see Madame Tussauds? Was that part of the trip?
No.
Okay.
So I'm going to stop you because we spent that one day. That was the only day we were in London.
Oh, okay.
The next day we went to the countryside. So we only spent the one day in London. So we did see St. Paul's Cathedral. That was the other thing we did in the afternoon. We went to a pub for lunch. We went to St. Paul's Cathedral, got a guided tour with our guide. You know, they give you these little Vox boxes with an ear, you know, some headphones, and they, you know, so you can hear the tour through the through the different places you go. And so our guide, Stephen, you know, talked about the history of St. Paul's Cathedral. We went down into the crypt. It was really kind of cool. But then that was it. Then we were done for the day. So we were able to go out to dinner on our own, which was a bit of a debacle, I'm not going to lie. Because we just caught in a rainstorm and it was just a mess. The place we were going to go eat, we had like a 2-hour wait, and we're like standing in the rain and we're like, yeah, no, we're going back to the hotel. So that was our, that was not the greatest experience, but it was an adventure for sure.
Stacy, in some of the side streets, you'll just be walking down the street and you'll see a row of buildings, and all of a sudden one will be a KFC. And it's like, that doesn't make sense that a KFC would be sitting there, or like a McDonald's or Burger King. And as you walk in, it literally is like 4 levels because it's been retrofitted into a building, and you're like, oh, so I should be eating in the KFC in the basement? And it's like, yeah, that's just normal out here. So it's a really unique, weird experience. You know,
yeah, that's really cool. Like that feels like, I don't know. I think that as Americans, we find stuff like that so fascinating because we don't have buildings that old.
Yeah.
And then you hear people from you know, Europe and stuff, they're like, why are Americans so fascinated with these buildings? It's like, because there's a KFC in it.
Yeah.
And it's really old.
Exactly. I took a picture of, there was a McDonald's and a KFC across the street from our hotel in Paris. And the McDonald's, I'll have to share it with you guys because I can't do it justice. It had this, like, it looks like it was a little building squeezed into the middle of these other buildings, but it had like a dude with like a scepter and a crown up at the top of it, and it was like turrets and things. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. So yes, I took a photo of that.
Well, I'm glad to see you got out of London too, because when we went, we did every kitschy tourist trap item. We went to go see Madame Tussauds. It's like, do you want to see the wax models? Well, heck yes, I want to see those wax models. Do you want to see the Museum of Torture? Well, absolutely, I want to see the Museum of Torture. So I'm glad to see you had a little more culture, though. When you go back, if you have a chance to do like Madame Tussauds, I know they have one again in Orlando, yeah. But the one there is pretty cool because it's historic. It's the first one. You learn about the history, about how they made the wax making and how they came around. And then Did you guys see Harrods at all? Did you go into the Harrods?
We did not go to Harrods.
Oh, shame on you. I want to give you shame for that. You need to go into Harrods next time. It's a shopping experience unlike anything that exists in the United States. It's completely unique. It's a gigantic building, Stace, which looks like a warehouse. And there's like 7 levels. And if you can think of it, they sell it. In that building, they would sell anything from puppies to race cars in that exact same building. It's an amazing experience. You're like, I can't even believe the store exists. But Harrods sells everything. It's pretty cool. So yeah.
The one thing I wish we had thought to do and we didn't, because there's a lot of downtime and we had dinner, you know, dinner nights on our own. A lot of people went to the West End to go see it play. Mm. And they even said, hey, if you want theater tickets for tonight, we can show you an app where you can try to get same day theater tickets. And we were still, you know, a bit jet lagged and the kids were like, I don't want to go to the theater. so we didn't do that. But that is absolutely something I would do if we went back to London, is go see a play in the West End.
Jennifer, just know that whenever I laugh, when you talk about your kids, it's only because I'm completely seeing my kids doing the exact same thing. Exactly. And like, no, you're going to have culture, damn it. You're going to, and knowing that's going to be bad. I could just, all right, we're in the country. What are we seeing in the country?
We went archery. Is that a word? Archery. We went to do archery. There is okay. No verb for archery. We went and did archery.
You were archers. You were archers for the day.
So they had these guys dressed up in like this Robin Hood type outfits, like cool. Medieval, and did medieval archery with like old fashioned, you know, bows and arrows and things. And they, you know, there was a little historical stuff they talked about. They taught everyone. We all got to shoot. It was kind of fun. The kids got a real big kick out of it. And there was like a little friendly competition where we had to, you know, each trainer had their team, and whoever got the most, you know, shots on the bullseye was the winner. And, you know, there was a loser, and it was just a fun little, the kids liked that. That was their favorite part.
Okay.
So that was fun.
What'd you eat in the countryside? Did they go to a pub?
We went to Windsor. So we went to the little town of Windsor, and they gave us free time. There's a whole little shopping area there. It's very cute. It's very, it's right by the castle. So there's like touristy areas, plus there's a bunch of little restaurants and things. So we kind of walked around, did some shopping, and then just got something quick to eat. So just some sandwiches and things. There were places to eat there where you could have sat down and had a meal and had like a little pub style meal, but we wanted to explore. So we got some fast food and went on our way.
All good. Even the fast food though in London, it always feels, or like even Britain, it feels exotic, doesn't it? It doesn't feel like the same. It just, it feels different. British food had a bad reputation 20, 25 years ago about these weird things and weird shepherd's pie and whatnot. But British food has taken this about face, and it's now like a worldwide cuisine now. And if you can think of it, they have it. It's like Chicago. I mean, if you want great Middle Eastern food, they have it. Great Chinese food, they have it. If they want, you know, they have everything, and they've blended it into their own recipes and styles. It's really good now. So
yeah, we really enjoyed it. It was fun. It was really the food. I want to go back.
Okay. What about, give me another experience in the country.
We went to Henry VIII's palace. Mm. So, which was actually not on the original itinerary. We were supposed to tour Windsor, but it's closed to the general public. And I don't know for how long it's been closed. I don't know why. I think it's been since the coronation a couple of months ago, but so we couldn't tour in there. So they took us to Hampton Court Palace, which is the home, one of the homes of Henry VIII, which is now just a museum. They had a huge garden festival out there. I guess the grounds are gigantic, and they have like the, you know, England's biggest garden festival happened to be happening that same weekend. So we were able to kind of see all those people out there in the gardens shopping for their shrubs and whatnot.
Lovely for us middle-aged people, but I could just imagine presenting this to your 12-year-olds. Let's go see Hampton Court with this.
Right. So we didn't
watch by shrubbery.
Yeah, my husband was mad. He wanted to go see the garden show, but they did like a kitchen tour, and again, same thing. We toured through an old castle. The kids weren't thrilled, but it was kind of neat.
Yeah.
There was a hedge maze, like a big one of those labyrinths
Well, that's
so cool. So the kids got to go run around and they made it into a competition, you know, to try to see who came out first. And my son got a chocolate, so he was very excited.
Give me one more highlight about London and Great Britain before we head off to Paris.
That was it. That was our 2 days. That's all we did. I really loved our hotel. It was beautiful. It was very convenient to going places. And we did have dinner there one night and the food was very, very good. They had this really cool bar. I don't want to talk about, you know, drinking, but.
Please do.
Oh, again, it's a family show. I don't
know. No, it's all good. It's all good.
So they had this really kitschy thing where you had like a black light and you picked a color and that was the drink you ordered. And when you shine the black light on it, it revealed what was in the drink based on the color you chose. And it was just this really cool little thing. And so I thought that was fun. So Rick and I, you know, left the kids in the room with their iPads because they needed a break from, you know, palaces and castles. And we went down to the bar and sat and had a drink. That was nice.
That's really cool. When you went to the pub, were you surprised that the pubs in London, they have a different feel than you expected, a different vibe than you expected, or was it about what you expected?
It was kind of what I expected. I don't know if they particularly gave us a pub that had that like pub feel, if you know what I mean. Like it was all dark wood and it was, you know, very like homey kind of a feeling. And like, if you've seen pubs on TV, this kind of was like that. And so I don't know. It's the only one we went to. So I don't know if that's authentic or if that's for tourists. Mm-hmm. Either way, it didn't matter. The food was really good. I got a pint of Guinness and I was happy. So, and I had my fish and chips and my mushy peas and whatever sauce they gave with me with that. And it was delicious.
From what my limited knowledge is, that is the design. A pub in London and in Great Britain is an extension of your family's living room. And so when you walk in, you're expecting to see a bunch of rowdy, you know, football fans watching, you know, on TV. And in fact, you see families and kids and it's just an extension of their house. And when we walked into ours, we were like, this is really, really strange. You would expect to see a different environment, kids coloring, moms like talking together. And it was like, wow, this is like in the States, you're thinking like sports are on TV and loud music. And it's not like that. It's different. I mean, I'm sure there are places like that, but that's not the traditional pub. It's supposed to be an extension of your living room. So
we did have our own, you know, cause there's 40 of us. They had us off in a separate room. So we didn't really get the vibe of the other clientele. It was, you know, it was a Tuesday, I think. So it was, you know, there are a lot of people, you know, where, you know, in work clothes and suits and things, having lunch, you know, between doing whatever they were doing at the office. So.
Okay. Did you take the Eurostar? How'd you get from London to Paris?
We did take the Eurostar, which was great. So this was one of the cool things. And also there's a funny story associated with this. Not my story, but a funny story. So, you know, when you're on a cruise or you can actually have your luggage removed the night before you leave so you don't have to drag all your luggage through the cruise. That's what they did for us between London and Paris. Mm-hmm. So we did not have to drag our luggage on the Eurostar. They called it their French man in a van who came and collected all the luggage the night before. And so we just had to make sure we had our passports, which is the funny story. And the clothes to change into.
It's not a funny story, I'm sure.
That's why it's funny, because it's not my story. And then the next morning we went on the Eurostar with just, you know, a little overnight bag and didn't have to worry about dragging luggage onto the train.
Yeah. So
that was very nice.
Really cool experience, because you have to go. It is definitely not a cruise terminal or an airline terminal. You know, where did it leave from again? Remind me again of the station that it left from.
I'm blanking on the name of the station now. It's St. Pancras. Pancras Station, which is right across from King's, the Harry Potter one that I'm blanking on. Yeah, King's Cross Station. It's right across the street from King's Cross Station.
Gotcha. I remember it was definitely a unique urban experience, you know, around there and getting there. So it's not like it's like, hey, this is easy to lug our heavy suitcases. Yeah. So really cool. Stacey, it goes under the English Channel and it can reach, you know, pretty high speeds. It doesn't ever really go blistering through the countryside, but the cool part is it literally goes under the English Channel.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Though you're traveling, and then all of a sudden it's dark. So it's not like you're seeing like the water, but like it's been you know, you reappear. So yeah.
It didn't feel like you're in a tunnel though. That was the thing. I was expecting it to be dramatic. And, you know, I was reading a book, you know, kids were looking at their stuff. Rick was playing a video game on his phone. And I'm like, I think we're in France now. I think that was the tunnel.
Yeah. Yeah. There was no major notification or epic moment of reality that you were going under, you know, under the ocean. So, okay. Where did you stay again? Remind us when you got to Paris, you were met by a shuttle and taken to your hotel, or?
We actually were from Paris. Our group went to, we got a bus from the train station.
Okay.
And they actually took us straight to our next excursion, basically. So our luggage was all being brought to the hotel completely separate. We just took our carry-on stuff and we put it on the bus, and that bus was ours. So they had somebody watching everyone's stuff. And then we went to Montmartre and took the funicular ride up to go see Sacré-Cœur Cathedral.
Yes.
And ate, had lunch there and did some shopping and took some pictures.
So it arrived at Gare du Nord, correct?
Gare du Nord, yes.
Yeah. So Montmartre and Sacré-Cœur is close by. It's in the north part of the city. Mm-hmm. So really cool experience. Did you get the full out tourist experience where there were pushy people pointing off their cheap jewelry and whatnot as you walked the steps? Did you get that?
Cool. There was, it was entertaining. It was really entertaining to see all that. I'm like, gosh, it feels like, you know, a street corner in New York City, you know, where everyone's selling their knockoff Louis Vuittons and things. They were, you know, all kinds of people like trying to get you to buy their cheap trinkets. So
until you get to the site, Stacy, until you get to this top of this hill where it may be the tallest natural landmark in Paris, and you turn around, and you see Paris at your feet as it lays out in front of you, and the site is just amazing. And if you hit it right, now you guys were there what time, Jen?
It was in the early afternoon, so between like 1 and 3. Wasn't late. Wasn't sunset.
Oh, I have pictures, and it's just breathtaking, you know, at nighttime. So, and Matt, when you think of your local churches or places of worship in the States, we think of old buildings and old churches as 100 years old. Right. 100 years old would literally be new construction in London and Paris. If it's not 500 years old, it's a baby. It's like a newbie on the block. So, I mean, every place you walk into is more magnificent than the last church, the last cathedral, the last place you visited. And they all have like tourist shops and gift shops inside these places of worship. So Sacré-Cœur has a gift shop inside this place of worship. It's like, well, that's kind of unique, but okay, we'll go with it. We're going to go with this one.
Yeah. I think I want to say it was this, they told us that churches in such a, you know, there are churches in London and like St. Paul's, you pay to go into the church to do a tour. The ones in Paris and France, they don't charge people to come to visit a church, because they're like, we don't want to charge you to visit a church. They do accept donations and things like that, but they don't actually charge you an admission fee to go see the interior of these historically famous, beautiful churches, which mm-hmm. they could, and people would still show up. But that was one thing that I thought was really kind of neat.
Yeah. Okay. So after that, you guys were probably looking for dinner. Your first experience with French food, how did that go?
Let me look this up because I can't remember. It's all running together. We did a wine tasting. That was the other thing we did that afternoon.
Nice.
The kids did Disney trivia. We did a wine tasting, got charcuterie and some foods and did that. And then we went to dinner in the Gare Saint-Lazare train station.
Okay.
So it was a dinner. It's an old restaurant. And we had a big group dinner there. It was really good. It was very, very good.
Did they serve typical French food, or was it Americanized for you?
It was French. It was our guides tell us that they only put out butter when their group is there, because butter is not usually served with bread in France. So they know all the American tourists are coming, so we put out butter. Everything was really authentic. Everything with the nice sauces on it. You had your bread for dipping. You had it. We had dessert that was it actually was printed, the recipe, on the wall of the restaurant, because it's they're famous for this particular dessert. It's named after them. It was very good.
What did your kids think of the food in both London and Paris? Did they enjoy the experiences? Are they foodies? Are they picky? What was that?
They're sometimes picky. They're weirdly picky. They won't eat mashed potatoes, but they'll eat sushi and they'll eat anchovies. So
weird.
Weird. My kids are a little weird, but they fish and chips. They're pretty good with fish and chips. They did have a separate kids menu for a lot of these places, so they did have simpler things. I think Hunter got a steak, and had the sauce on the side, so it wasn't drowned in the sauce. Even though the sauce was amazing, they wanted something a little more simple. Hannah did get chicken nuggets somewhere at one of the meals we had for lunch, and Hunter had pizza, so they had stuff for the kids.
That's really cool to know, because one of the intimidating factors is you bring your kids there and it's am I going to fight every meal? Because the meals aren't cheap. I mean, the Adventures by Disney trip, but if you're doing this a la carte, if you're doing this on your own, I have to make sure that I'm not going to fight, and mealtime can be stressful, especially in a strange environment, especially with food that isn't prepared the way you're used to preparing it. Try eating a burger or going to Subway in Paris. It's a completely different experience than what you're expecting.
There are hundreds of burger joints. Apparently French people love hamburgers. There's Five Guys on every corner. It's hilarious.
But it is true, but it doesn't taste the same. I know my kids were this is a little different. It's good. It's just different. So that's one of the things I was wondering about, if they would cater to the kids' taste. And of course, because it's an Adventures by Disney trip, it would be catered to that. What else did you see that you enjoyed? And then what did your kids see they particularly enjoyed in Paris?
They loved the Eiffel Tower, just because it's the Eiffel Tower, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool. They know. It's one of the few things that they're we know this. We learned this. This is cool. They weren't as excited by the lunch at the Eiffel Tower. That one, they did not have a choice, so they weren't as interested in that. We did have lunch on the first floor of the Eiffel Tower. They have a restaurant there. But they liked the tour of we walked around the Eiffel Tower. There's, we walked the steps up to the second floor. They like seeing the city. That was kind of a neat thing for them. I liked seeing, the Louvre was amazing. It's just it's not your typical art museum. In that the building itself is a museum. It's all the architecture and everything is painted and tiled, and it's really cool. So that stood out for me. That's about when my kids decided they were done with museums.
Oh yeah. The Louvre will check anybody out of it. Stacey, I can't even describe how big it is. And I'm only guessing you only did one wing, right, Jennifer?
We hit some highlights. We had our own tour guide who gave us a grand tour of the highlights. We ran around quite a bit, but I don't think we obviously didn't see everything, but we hit the high points that you try to see.
Stacey, it's impossible. The Louvre is an impossible museum to navigate in one. It'd be impossible to navigate probably in an entire vacation. It's so massive. And you think, you're just going to get, as a 12-year-old perspective, you're definitely going to tune out the paintings. But if you look at the paintings and you realize that painting is 17 feet by 40 feet. And you're like, I didn't even think that's possible, that a painting could be that big and that intricate in design. Oh my God, are those eyelashes? Did they detail eyelashes in that painting? And each one is literally better than the last. When you look at the Mona Lisa, then you finally get to her. She's a bore. The painting across the way from the Mona Lisa is jaw dropping, but everyone's looking at this tiny little picture of the Mona Lisa. Every painting, every sculpture, every artifact, every jewel, every coin is as you walk past it. But to a 12-year-old kid, you're like, meh, let's, yeah.
Right? They were actually given a task in the Mona Lisa room, because if you haven't been to the Louvre, to get to the Mona Lisa, it's like a line at Disney, right? There's a bunch of, you know, you have to go back and forth in the line. Mm-hmm. And it starts usually out the door. I think we got there pretty early. So we were there like when it was still within the room. But our guide who gave us the, like our little historical perspectives on some of the artwork, told all the kids to look at the painting across from the Mona Lisa. And it's the Wedding at Cana, I think is what it's called. And it's, they wanted to, them to pick out of all of the hundreds of people in this painting, which one are the bride and groom? Uh-huh. Because they're not conspicuously placed in the middle, like you would think. So the kids actually like went and looked and were trying to figure out who the bride, and you can figure it out, but it was kind of a fun little thing. And then you're right. They're like, what's so special about the Mona Lisa? It's small. You can't even get up to it. I don't understand.
Yeah, it's true. It is the first time you see it. You're like, I am completely underwhelmed by this painting. I don't get any of what's the fervor about this painting? Like there's so many other impressive works. And by the time you actually feel like you've walked for an eternity, you literally come back to the main central hub and you realize you did like a fifth of the museum. You're like, no freaking way. Did I just do only a fifth of that museum? It just goes on forever. So that's quite impressive. But it's like one of like 10 art museums in the city and like one of like 50 museums in the city. So I can completely see if your kids are. So like this is like the warning, and we did it with our kids. Like you have to like balance. Okay, let's go to Disneyland Paris one day and then we're going to do the Louvre. Okay, let's go to the Eiffel Tower and then we're going to do the other art museums. You know, let's go to the, you know, the cemetery, you know, the Père Lachaise Cemetery. And then let's do this. So you have to balance those things.
Yeah, this day wasn't balanced well for kids. So we went to the Louvre, and then we went to the Latin Quarter and had lunch and shopped a bit. But then we went by Notre Dame and took pictures because you can't go inside. And then we went to the Opera House, you know, the Phantom of the Opera, Opera mm-hmm. House. So we went to the Louvre. We stood outside a church. We then went to an opera house and saw more artwork. And then we decided we were done at the opera house. And so we were going to walk back to the hotel, but they were talking about this famous department store, which is the
Gallery
Lafayette. And that you've got to go to the rooftop and there's this gorgeous dome. And so we did that. And the kids were like, what are we doing? So that day we broke my children.
No more vacations ever. They do an amazing Christmas experience in Galleries Lafayette. Stacey, if you just do a YouTube search on it, it like each year is like jaw-droppingly cool. Jennifer, my one motivation for my kids on vacation, when we would set forth like a day, we're going to go to this museum, we're just going to walk in this direction. We would stop by like literally every bakery, every boulangerie we can get our hands on. And we'd buy croissants and we'd buy, you know, chocolate filled and custard. We would buy treats all day long. We might've eaten, I don't know, 7 or 8 donuts and croissants a day, like per person and cookies, but it was it. That was the way we're going to keep everyone moving along is
we bribed our children a lot. There were macarons involved. There were croissants involved.
Yes. Good girl. Always the way to keep them smiling is just keep on throwing food at them. You know, it'll make it work. Yeah. What does your husband really enjoy in Paris?
He, that's a good question. He liked the Louvre. I know he liked the Louvre. He liked just going out to dinner and just sitting. It was, we didn't get a whole lot of time. Well, there was plenty of time. We just did not choose to use our time wisely to go sit at cafes and things. But, for such a big city, it's very chill when it comes mm-hmm. to meals, and you sit and enjoy and you take your time and there's no rushing and no one's going to tell you you've been here for an hour and a half and you need to leave. You know, you just can sit and chit chat over your one drink for, you know, a couple hours. And that was, I think, our favorite part. It was just nice to not feel rushed when you're trying to relax on your vacation. And this was the perfect city to do that in.
Yeah, it's encouraged. That's part of the lifestyle, right? Is the coffee, the aperitif, and the cigarettes outside. It's part of the lifestyle. We want you to sit and talk. And if you order a drink or two, that's fine. You know, we expect you to buy something, but there's no, you have to ask for the check. they're not going to bring you the check. You literally have to say, okay, we need the check. We've been here for 2 hours. Give me the check.
Yeah, we were glad our guide like told us this. Even in England, it's the same thing. She's like, they'll keep asking you, are you sure you're okay? Are you sure you don't want something else? Do you need anything? She's like, they will keep asking you that until they keel over and die if you don't ask for the check. So they think it's rude to push the check at you. So it was very different in experience. So if you're not expecting that, I think it's like, where's our check? Well, they're not going to tell you. They're not going to give you a check. You have to ask for it.
How did the trip with Adventures by Disney conclude in Paris? What was the final thing? Was it in fact the Eiffel Tower, or was there a final conclusion?
No, we had they do a dinner. So actually, this was actually kind of cool. They took us to, I don't know the name of the restaurant, but it was right next door to La Durée, which is one of the like premier macaron shops in town. So we had dinner there. They gave us our goofy berets. So we all sat at our dinner.
I saw the picture.
Our goofy berets. They do a slideshow with highlights. They had like a competition. We did do a chocolate making thing. So they had a competition for whose chocolate looked the prettiest. They had a meme competition, which my kids' Misery at the Museum meme won. But they took us, all of us in our berets, which was the great part, next door to the macaron shop so we could get macarons at dinner. So that was a lot of fun. They had a musician there. It was a nice little send-off.
Okay. But your trip didn't end there. You stayed an extra day, correct?
Our trip did not end there. We actually stayed 2 extra days.
Okay.
So normally, when your trip ends, Disney provides the transportation back to the airport. We chose to book our Disneyland trip separate from Adventures by Disney. And the reason is because the way we had to book our trip under 2 reservations because of the way European hotels are, they only put 2 people in a room. So we had one room for me and one kid and one room for Rick and the other kid. So that when we wanted to go to Disney, where they have normal like American style hotels, they wanted us to keep 2 reservations. And the cost was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So we chose to end our vacation there, book our own separate Disneyland package where we all had one room. So we had to get our own transportation to Disneyland because basically you either paid through Disney or they took you to the airport or that was it. So we got an Uber. We went to Disneyland with all our stuff.
Okay. And it's about 45 minutes probably from city center. Is that about right?
That was about right.
Okay. Stacey, the rooms in some of the resorts are really cool and refurbished, or the new resorts like the Marvel Resort and some of the ones like the original Disneyland Paris Hotel, the rooms are smaller and it's like not what you expect a deluxe hotel to be. Though I think with, you know, the onset of time and expectation, I think there are, you know, improvements in everything that goes along there. But you said you stayed at the Marvel Hotel?
We stayed at the Marvel Hotel. So the Disneyland Hotel would have been our first choice just because it's right there, but they were still renovating it. So it's not open. So we chose to stay at the Marvel Hotel, partly because we're Marvel geeks. My husband is a big Marvel geek. So we wanted to stay there, and because it was new and because we can't do Marvel here in Florida, and we have not ventured to California. So we wanted to experience all the Marvel things. So that hotel is gorgeous. It is absolutely gorgeous. And it's pretty brand spanking new. So it was really nice to be in a really brand new hotel.
Gotcha. Room sizes about the same as a Disney resort expectation?
Yeah, it's about what you'd expect from a kind of a deluxe resort. Like it was a good sized room. You know, it had 2 queen size beds, good sized bathroom. It was, there was like a little couch, not a couch, but like a bench so you can put things on. So it was a good size.
Stacey, this was the lure for the kids for the entirety of the vacation, is that we're going to go to Disneyland Paris. Did you spend a day at the Disneyland park and a day at the studios, or how did that work out?
Yes. The tickets we got a package with the tickets. So it was a park hopper ticket. My kids are not super excited about a lot of the big thrill rides. So we got there probably around 10 or 11 in the morning after we got kind of our, you know, checked in and everything. And went to the Studios Park because, again, we wanted to do the Marvel stuff. That was my whole goal. So we did the Spider-Man Web Slingers ride. We did the Avengers ride, which, based on the description, if you don't know anything, you don't realize it's the old Rock and Roller Coaster. So we got a big surprise when my kids, who weren't super excited about going on Rock and Roller Coaster, are all of a sudden being strapped into this. And I'm like, this is a Rock and Roller Coaster. Yeah. Hey guys, remember how we were talking about going on that ride? Well, now you get to do it. So it's the same track as Rock and Roller Coaster, but it was, you know, Marvel themed, and, you know, you're fighting aliens and things, and Captain Marvel is shooting things that, you know, it was pretty cool. So they liked it. So I'm like, well, here you go.
Now here you go. Right? Brainstorm.
Yeah. So the Crush roller coaster is another one that's supposed to be really good, but that was broken that day. It was down. And then when we never did come back to go do it again. We did eat lunch at the Bistro Chez Remy, just because.
Ed Remy's Bistro. Okay, really cool.
It's really cool looking. Food is heavy. It's a 3-course prefix menu. So you're kind of stuck with the choices, and they're heavy French foods. So if I had to choose again, I would do it for dinner, but there were no dinner availabilities when we went. So we chose to go for lunch. So,
okay. What about the tower? What did you think about the Tower of Terror?
My children don't like the Tower of Terror, so we did not go.
Oh no.
Oh no. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, well, no, that was it. We did the Ratatouille ride, which we could do at home. We rode the Cars ride, which is like the old backlot tour, but with a Cars theme, which I thought was super cool. Nobody else thought it was cool, but I'm like, this is the backlot tour from Hollywood Studios. It's the old one. And they're like, all right, mom, whatever.
Yeah. Yawn. Okay. Let's go to Disneyland Park then. Mm-hmm. What do they think about that?
They really liked it. It was, it's very familiar because we live in Florida. We have annual passes. So Disney's very familiar to them. So they thought it was kind of cool that it was very familiar, but yet very different. Mm-hmm. So there's some familiar rides. We went on It's a Small World, and they're like, it's different. I'm like, yes, it is. Similar enough, but it's still different. We did, you know, they have the old school Snow White's Scary Adventures is what they used to call it. So we did a lot of the little younger kid rides because they're different than what we have at home. So there was a Pinocchio one and Snow White, and then there's a huge labyrinth with Alice in Wonderland that they actually, that was one of their favorite things. They ran around in a maze.
Did they do Big Thunder Mountain?
We did. We did do Big Thunder Mountain. I thought that was fantastic. They liked it too. They like it better than the one at here at home.
Stacey, it's really cool. It's more aggressive than the one at home. It's faster. It's it takes you out underwater to an island. Yeah.
It's very cool, but it's like, it's not as like Thunder Mountain to me always feels like you're being jerked around, and this one doesn't feel like that. Like, I think it's a much smoother track. And I think, so my kids like this one better because the track was smoother. Hannah doesn't like being bounced around because she weighs like, you know, 75 pounds. So she gets thrown about quite a bit in these rides. So she was much happier that she wasn't being flung across the seat in Thunder Mountain. Space Mountain was my favorite. Because it's Hyperspace Mountain. It is Star Wars themed. And it goes upside down.
There's a loop in it. Exactly. There were a few attractions that I thought were far superior to anything that we have stateside. Pirates is one of them. Big Thunder Mountain is one of them. Space Mountain is one of them. Yes. But if you're not prepared for Space Mountain, when you leave that ride, you're like, oh my gosh, that's a ride. Like you almost felt like they should have had a warning that this was as aggressive as it was.
Well, so I ended up after our Rock and Roller Coaster / Avengers debacle, I'm like, let me Google what else is different than at home. So we knew, we figured out which. So we're like, okay, Space Mountain goes upside down. This little Indiana Jones ride goes upside down. You know, we were like, okay, so let's warn you guys ahead of time before we go on this stuff. So.
Okay. Who got sick on vacation?
I did.
I only asked because I know I saw your post, but literally it's not a family vacation for any family until someone is vomiting. So who was the vomiter on this vacation?
So usually we rotate. So it was my turn, apparently. So usually it's one of the kids. So, you know, the kids are little, you go to Disney. With twins, you're always 50-50. No one can be happy at the same time with young twins. So always one of them was sick. Hunter threw up at me at Disney World one year, where Rick had to go into a shop and buy me a completely new outfit. We flew in a plane out west from Chicago when we were going to go skiing. And the plane circled a bit and Hannah threw up all over Rick. So this is always somebody gets sick.
Par for the course.
Yeah. So I don't know what happened. We went to it had dinner in the castle, because you have dinner in the castle. My kids were not thrilled because it's a princess dinner. I'm like, it's in the castle. Come on. And that was payback, I guess. The food was fantastic. It wasn't like the food was bad. I don't know. It just didn't sit well and I got sick.
Did it happen at the park or did it happen at a later
point? Oh, no, I made it back to the room. It was the end of the evening and I made it back to the room and then that was, yeah.
Okay. A couple questions and comparisons then, even city-wise. Which city was more welcoming and accepting to American tourists, London or Paris?
We were in Paris longer, so I would say Paris, but only because I feel like we got to explore more on our own than we did in London due to time.
Okay.
To me, I thought London felt a lot like New York City, and that could just be that we were fighting people on the subway, on the train, you know, because we were pushing through people to get on the train and stuff, mm-hmm. and that it felt more big city-ish, like American big city to me, whereas Paris felt like the speed, it was a big city, but the speed was a little slower. So I felt mm-hmm. like that felt more comfortable, I guess. But everyone was friendly to, as far as tourists go, you know, everyone, you know, the stereotype is that French are rude. I'm like, that wasn't the case. You just have to say hello to them. When you enter the store, if you say bonjour and bonsoir, when you say hello to somebody, when you walk into a restaurant or a shop, then people are nice. If you like just say, hey, what's this cost? Then they're not going to be nice to you. So
yeah,
you know, it's just the one thing you learn. So I felt pretty comfortable in both cities.
The willingness to try, it makes up for a lot of, you know, a lot of like misconceptions on that. We found the same thing that in Paris, I would say the majority of people, the vast majority already speak English. Yes. So as soon as you say bonjour and that, oh yeah, you're American, like they're going to change quickly. They'll be like, can I help you? You're like, oh, okay, great. Thank you.
I did have someone reply to me in French and I'm like, I'm sorry. Can you? Like, I don't think my accent's that good. I think you weren't paying attention, but thank you for humoring me and trying to speak to me in French, but I don't speak in French. But yeah, everyone spoke English and they were happy to. Nobody seemed to be concerned about it. You know, I mean, tourism is a big business in that city. So I don't think that anyone begrudges you for not speaking the language. I do think trying makes a difference. Mm-hmm. You know, the kids said merci whenever, you know, somebody handed them something, or when we were leaving, they would say good morning, good night. You know, it's just what you do. You know, don't be rude.
Was the trip over or the trip back home more uneventful for you guys? What was the better experience?
The trip over was easier because it was a, you know, direct flight. I mean, as far as like jet lag,
for the kids, for travel wise, for experience, the trip over, you're all filled with anticipation, right? What is this vacation? But the trip back home, there's always just kind of this coming down of like excitement level, but you're also able to kind of relax a little more because, you know, okay, we're just going to make it home, you know? So let me just sit.
Yeah, there was a bit of that. We had to catch a train to get to the airport to then hope. We only had like an hour and a half connection in Atlanta. So we were like, so there was a little bit of stress coming home because of that. It turned out we had plenty of time and then our flight was late. So, you know, which I'm like, there's no way our flight's going to leave out of Atlanta in the evening and it's going to be on time.
Yeah.
So of course not. It was delayed. So we were fine. And I was like, we may make it home, but we may not have luggage. But, you know, so there was that, but it actually worked out okay.
It'll show up in due time. Don't worry. It'll arrive.
Like, as long as it's on the way back that these things happen, as long as we're in the United States, I think we can figure out a way to get home.
Yeah. Okay. So this Adventures by Disney trip, tell me the target audience that this would appeal to. And I mean, it works for the family, right? I mean, mileage varies with every family, but literally, who is the audience that should go on this trip?
I think this is geared toward, it's for adults for sure. They do have adult only trips. But I think older teens, mine are a little too young. They still get a little bored easily. So I think they need a little more entertainment. So I think older teens who can appreciate that, hey, we're going to walk around and see museums. It's history. They're going to know that that's what that is. My kids weren't the youngest. There were, several kids who were younger, but for the most part, it was probably 16 to 18 year olds with their families on the trip.
Even the brief exposure to a different culture, it's a really cool gift to give to them. You know, I mean, a lot of people, we might take that once in our lifetime or twice in our lifetime. So, but I consider that like a major accomplishment because, it's, let's be honest, it takes a lot of planning. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of steps that need to happen. It's very expensive. It's very intimidating. You're like, okay, I need to book trips and itinerary for a city that I don't speak the language. I need to get the currency. You know, there's a lot that goes into that. So it's a really cool experience.
This is why I pay somebody to do it for me.
I was going to say, is this exactly why you would make the pitch for an Adventures by Disney trip?
Yes. For a family, I think, especially because they're geared toward families. I could find 1,000 things that Rick and I can do and be totally entertained by in a city like this. And our kids would hate every minute of it. And we'd be dragging them along. Even if it's things they wanted to do because you're on like a time restraint or you're trying to figure out how to get from point A to point B and everyone's stressing out. So I think going with the kids, it's much easier to have somebody else doing the planning and the transportation.
Yeah. Yeah, really cool. Where's your next Adventures by Disney trip? What are you eyeballing at this point?
We don't know yet. The kids have given us a couple of ultimatums. Okay. One is no museums. Okay. And two is they don't want to go on a 10-hour flight. So we're trying to figure out something that's more outdoorsy. They did say they complained about last year because they had to sleep in a tent and they didn't have Wi-Fi. So this was the extreme opposite. So we have to find common ground this time.
Gotcha. So like Hawaii's off the table because of the flight length at that point, right?
So yeah, we were looking at, there's a Canadian Rockies one, which stays at very nice hotels, but you're also outdoors a lot. And there's not a museum in sight. And it's not too far to get to Calgary. I mean, it's a bit of a flight, but it's not England. There's also another one out west, which I don't think there's any tent camping, glamping involved, but it's to Grand Canyon and that kind of thing. So we're trying to figure that out. Rick and I want to do another international trip, but the kids are just like, do we have to fly that long?
But you can relate to your kids that even your friends think the same way as you. Here, I am an annual pass holder for the Tampa History Museum. So we find museums everywhere we go. Every adult finds museums for the experience, you know?
Exactly.
Okay. Describe this trip in 3 words.
Amazing. This is tough. I'm going to say slightly stressful. That's 2 words, but that's because it's international travel with children.
That's high fashion.
I'm going to say it's a stepping stone because now it makes me want to go do more.
Good. That's important. And it's often thought that way for travelers from the United States, that London is often a stepping stone to another vacation. You know, London's like, hey, like you described, it's exotic New York. Come see exotic New York. Then you can experience other cultures. So, okay, really cool. Stacy, you have any questions? I know I've been hogging the airwaves as I tend to do with these trips. I'm like almost more excited than Jennifer is to talk about her trip.
No, you had really, really good questions. I think that you covered everything. I've just, whenever I'm in one of these interviews, I'm just soaking it all in. So, it sounds like a really amazing trip.
And you did say that Scott did say he would consider going on a flight for you, did he not?
He did, but now every time I bring that up, he's like, well, someday when we're retired, we'll do the transatlantic cruise. And I'm like, well, then it's going to have to be like that 72-day one so I can see all of Europe at once if we're not going to, if this is it. So we'll be saving up for that until we're like
next. So he's going to transatlantic cruise over and then back again? Back. Is that the plan? Or are you going to actually get on a plane to come back?
Oh, there would be in his itinerary, there are no planes involved in this trip.
Well, you kind of win. Get to Europe, you can do that. But
yeah, you kind of win.
There's one, I think he's looked it up. It's like a Royal Caribbean or something. And it like is a long one. It's, you know, I think it's a month and a half, 2 month trip. And it's, you go everywhere. And I was like, well, start saving our pennies.
Yeah, seriously. Okay. Jennifer, if someone had any questions, what would be the best way to contact you? Would that be through us in EDCOT or you directly? What would you like people to do?
Either one. You can message me on Facebook. That's the only social media I really use. Okay. If there's anyone else who wants like my email or text, I would prefer if they went through you first so you could screen them for me.
Of course. Yeah, but these are important things because not a lot of people would have taken this experience. We talk about trip reports to Disneyland and Walt Disney World, but the Adventures by Disney is unique. So it's often really, really informative and more reassuring when we have a tangible example of who's done this exact trip.
I mean, I'm happy to talk to anybody about the trip. So, you know,
all right. So for Jennifer's really cool experience in Britain, in France, for Stacy and my wishing we were in Britain and France, we'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Anytime.
And we want to wish you a great day.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Bye.